Good morning. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 3, chapters 10 to 15. We had one student, Preacher Fitz, ask that I share a little bit about this morning about what's going to happen on my sabbatical that I'm about to go on. And so you're sort of going to get a half and half, a half sharing and a half sermon here this morning. So I hope you can hang in there with that. Listen for God's word to you. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how they build, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one which has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, revealed with fire. The day will bring it to light, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. And if what they have built survives, they will receive their reward. If it is burned up, they will suffer loss. They themselves will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. This is the word of the Lord. Usually, we have multiple senior sermons, but as I said, sometimes, some years, only one student might feel called, and I've learned over the years, pretty effectively, they've taught me that you should never pressure a student into preaching that doesn't want to preach. There was the year that at 6:45, two students called to let me know they wouldn't be preaching the sermon that morning, and that was the Sunday morning of delivering the sermons. It's the fastest sermon I've ever prepared. Well, this year Fitz asked me to share a little bit about this summer and what's going to happen with that. Many of you know that I have a 3-month sabbatical that's coming here in a few days. In the Presbyterian Church, typically, if you've been at a location for about 7 years as a minister, you're supposed to take a sabbatical. I was due to take it last summer, but simply couldn't do it. And part of the reason we're going to be able to do this is because we received a grant from the Lilly Foundation that allows my family and I to do all sorts of things that we never would be able to do without that. It's truly a kind of a Cadillac grant. We're very thankful for it and the chance to do this. So this summer, mostly what we're going to be doing is we are going to head home. In fact, that was the theme. I had to pitch a theme. I can't stand pitching themes and things, but I had to pitch a theme in my grant application, and it was heading home. So we're going to start in Washington, D.C., which I was born just outside there, and going to see some of the places that I came home to as a kid. And many summers, I would go back for 2-3 weeks at a time to visit that some of those areas in Virginia. And so we're going to explore all that. We're going to head to New York and Philadelphia to give my kids a chance to see that. I went to seminary in Princeton, New Jersey, which is roughly halfway between New York and Philly. And so those were special places for Annie and I when we were first married. And from there, we're going to head over to the United Kingdom. And we're going to go see some friends in Scotland that are friends of ours because of the mission work that Annie and I did when we were both college students there for a time. After that, we'll travel to California, to Lake Tahoe, where Annie's family grew up taking summer vacations. They haven't water skied together in 13 years. And so they're all getting back together around this sabbatical this summer to get to do that, which is really special. It's a very special place for her family. We're going to go see where I grew up in L.A. My children have never been through my hometown or community, and I'm looking forward to that. And then we're going to go camping. We're going to come back here for a couple days, and then we're going to drive up to camp in Glacier National Park, and then in the Canadian Rockies in Banff. So we are, although several people said, you are brave trying to take two kids for 2.5 weeks of camping, but we're going to try it out. We like camping together. Along the way, though, which I want to share with you this morning, there will be some meetings that I'm going to have as well. There's going to be some time for prayer and reflection at some different places along the journey. But there are also going to be some meetings that I'm going to have that are related to the ministry that we've been doing here at Columbia. If you don't know, some years ago we began building a small jobs and mentoring program here at CPC for teenagers in our church and outside of our church called the Columbia Future Forge. And that effort began with a small landscaping social enterprise to employ teenagers and place them with local mentors. And it's continued to grow over the last few years. And I started writing about it online. It's really kind of a living out of the intergenerational model of ministry. It's more of a relationship program and a mentoring program than it is a jobs program in a lot of ways. And I began writing about it online. And other churches have begun to reach out asking how they might start a social enterprise at their church and do youth ministry through the same vehicle. And so there are some folks that I want to meet with along my journey to kind of talk about similar models of ministry. So in London, for instance, I'll be meeting with a fellow named Steve Chalk, who runs one of the biggest nonprofits in the United Kingdom called Oasis. And Oasis began with a youth hostel in 1985 in London, and now has a whole constellation of ministries built around that church within a square mile of the campus in London Metro. And I want to understand how it is that they've been able to connect those ministries with the life of this central church all those years and continue to do the kind of diverse work they're doing. They run schools, they have community gardens, athletic programs, all these different kinds of things. I'll be meeting with some other folks, one of whom trains pioneer ministers in the United Kingdom, in the Anglican Church. That is, ministers that are trying to get to do ministry in alternative ways to typical church models. And his name's Johnny Baker, and he's in charge of that. He's also a leader in the worship arts movement around the world. I started reading his blog 15 years ago when I was first going into seminary. He's a fascinating guy. I'll meet with some folks at Duke Divinity School and at Princeton Theological Seminary that have been aware of the ministry that our church is doing in this direction since pretty close to the starting point. And I'm excited about that. And if I can get it in, I haven't heard back. I'm trying to sneak into Homeboy Industries down in LA where Father Boyle, who came and spoke here at our church, works to understand how they've structured and built that ministry and are making an impact in the LA metro area. So in addition to the fun and the rest and the play, there's a few things that relate directly to kind of what we're doing together in the life of this church. In our passage this morning, Paul has just trying to finish settling a debate in Corinth. There's a debate between who are the people in that church following. Is it Paul or Apollos? And they keep saying who they're followers of. And Paul is trying to get them to understand, no, all of us ultimately are followers of Christ. Paul says that that is the foundation on which everything else is built. Paul's whole point is that who builds on that foundation doesn't necessarily matter from that point on. It's God who is the one who ultimately grows and builds all churches and ministries and people. But Paul does say in that passage, the passage that we read this morning, that what we build and what we construct with will be tested. And he begins to use image of fire, that God kind of refines what we construct and build on that foundation of Christ in our lives. And I think that most of us who have walked through any chapter of life knows that testing does come in every chapter of life. Life often has a way of kind of burning away what is wasteful, sometimes burning away uncomfortably, revealing perhaps some parts of our life that look like quality on the outside but may not be so on the inside. Sometimes God does that work in our lives. One of the difficulties, I think, for our students and so many students in our country today is that they know that that testing is coming and it produces a lot of anxiety in them. Adulthood, and they know this well, they sense it coming. Adulthood has a way of revealing the quality of not just what we do, but of who we are as human beings. And that's a bit scary. The good news in the midst of all of that testing and that refining, of course, is that as long as we've laid the foundation well in Christ, no matter how much our building gets knocked down, no matter how much testing comes, that we have something, that foundation of Christ to rebuild on. In fact, we have a someone to rebuild on. My challenge to our students as they head out into the world, and to each of us as we perhaps transition to a new chapter of life, is simply to think carefully before we add a new wing onto the house of our life, that we would be careful about pouring some Christ-filled concrete before we do it, recognizing what's needed to sustain everything that we do, and that is our relationship with Christ. As I've been preparing for this sabbatical that I'm about to take off on with my family, there have been times that I felt that I'm the one who's escaping through the flames narrowly, as Paul says in that passage. We've had to make sure that the youth ministry is set up and ready to go. Jim and I have had to have extra conversations because Jim's perfectly capable of running this whole ministry, but we've had to talk about things that he just hasn't had to run before. We've had to hire extra interns from Whitworth we're excited about coming, and we have a 20-hour-a-week youth worker who's starting in June to help us sustain all of this. Her name's Courtney Clay, and you'll get to meet her in a few weeks. It's been a lot of arranging and other things along the way, and it's been a bit nerve-wracking. A ton of preparation, because as I sit from 5 days from starting this 3-month journey, I'll admit I'm a little bit nervous. Has the plan been well thought out? Are we doing too much? Are we doing the right things? Will things be okay while I'm gone? And I know the answers to that question are probably yes, but it feels like that moment that Paul describes in the passage, that the testing is coming. Building this youth ministry that we've developed has felt like that too at times. I mean, what idiot starts a landscaping company to try to do youth ministry? I've asked myself that question many times driving down the highway. Have we stepped too far? Can we possibly sustain this? But I have continued to feel that this work that we are doing together as a church is worth doing, that God is continuing to call me and all of us to this experiment. We need to understand that this ministry that we are developing is not just work for Clark County or for Columbia Presbyterian. 9 months ago, somebody reached out to me from Christ Church, New Zealand. that was working in a consortium of churches to do church and social enterprise at the same time, to do kingdom work, to say, keep writing and please keep talking about this. There's a group of churches here in New Zealand that's reading that stuff and are inspired by what your church is doing. Just this last week, a friend of mine named Shannon Ross, who works for the Lilly Endowment, called me to say he was at his church interviewing a youth ministry candidate at their church. And the last question that one of the parents asked was, what do you think are some of the most important things going on in youth ministry? And he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I almost fell out of my chair. He said, because this person on the phone began to talk about this church in Vancouver, Washington, that was doing youth ministry in a way that they'd never experienced before, and that they were excited to see if those models were possible in their context. The work that we're doing here matters, and not just to us. It matters to the kingdom of God. I know that what we are building is far from perfect. I see the holes in our models and what we're trying out every single day. But the same testing that Paul mentions in this passage will refine us and all that we're doing here as a church in an effort to bring students to Christ. It will show us what needs to remain, what needs to give glory to God, and what will give glory to God. And I want you to know simply this, that as my wife and my family and I head out this summer, we are very thankful for the willingness of this church to risk and experiment in new forms of ministry, not just the one that we're working on in youth ministry, but in many ways over the years. It is amazing to watch, and it is amazing to other churches to watch this church's willingness to risk for the sake of the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that we are more than excited to return back here in the fall and see what God will continue to do in and through the life of this church every single day. Amen.